always stressing the practical side of the agamic wisdom and calling attention to the urgency of following it in this very life. The text opens with a question by the Devi, the compassionate mother of the universe, to her eternal spouse. This is the way many of the sacred texts of our approach, the utterances of the siddhas, they use this analogy of spouse, husband, wife, union in this context to indicate the union of Shiva and Shakti, to indicate that the formless absolute and its active principle known as the Shakti, also referred to as Devi, are one and the same, just as with a wonderful marriage, husband and wife can become of one mind and can operate in a way that they experience each other's feelings, that they understand each other's thoughts before words are spoken, etc. So when these great sages use these mantras that we're familiar with, like husband, wife, a spouse, consort, these are metaphorical references to help us understand, not only in lay terms, but to help even the unenlightened understand the eternal relationship between Shiva and Shakti in terms that are easily relatable. So the Devi asks a question of her eternal spouse, Shiva, the highest, the supreme principle, or the self, as to the possible way by which all the creatures involved in an endless round of birth and death, in an endless round of what the Devi refers to as suffering, can obtain release. And so in the opening of this chapter, the great Lord responds that there is one real, one absolute reality, one power, known as Para Brahman or Param Shiva, meaning formless absolute, that is featureless, all-knowing, that is the universal experient, the all-doer, is the mantra used in the opening of this chapter. Sovereign of all, stainless, one without a second, self-luminous, without beginning or end, without attribute, without change, beyond the highest. This supreme being is Satchidananda. All the jivas, all the individual bound souls, the myriad of creatures in this world appearance and elsewhere are portions or expressions of this highest principle, like sparks of the same fire. Attached to the ancient ignorance and regulated by their own volition and action, influenced by their environment, they go on passing from birth to birth, from death to death. Many other kinds of births taken by each jiva, which passes through the several gradations of life on earth, for example, immobile creation, the mobile, ranging from insects, the egg-borne, birds, animals, human beings in different stages of development, gods, to the liberated beings. Of these, the human birth is the most important, for it is then that one becomes awake, aware of his state of bondage and the necessity of release, and is also in a position to take steps for his or her liberation from the hold of ignorance due to the individual will referenced in Pandit Ji's writings as self-will. Due to the fact that you have self-will, you are not totally subject to the impulses, the drive of nature. Here, the reference to nature is the reference to the play of the impurities, the gunas and the malas. Not totally subject to the impulses and drive of nature as are beings lower than human beings in the scale of evolution. Human beings have a mind that can see and organize. The tantras have it that the human birth is got after going through as many as 84 lakhs of inferior birds. 84 lakhs, and even brings higher than human beings envy this birth, because it is only human life on this earth, which is a field of evolution that holds the possibility of change, progress, and release. The Purana, this is a reference to Puranas, are very, very long combinations of sacred text, and Kulavanava Tantra is taken from a long series of these scriptures known as Purana. So the opening of chapter 1 states, the Purana declares that the very gods have to come down on earth and embody themselves here if they wish to go up the ladder of cosmic existence. All other worlds in creation, the worlds of the gods, the celestial beings, the gods and the goddesses of heaven, angels, and other hierarchies are all set to type. They have a fixed mold and can only stagnate in that mold, however perfect it might seem. It is only on this earth, and that too in a human body endowed with a soul, that can choose one's line of development and take the means to progress accordingly. It is the articulate soul of a human being that holds the impulse to progress and gives the direction that makes for such a being's superiority over other orders in creation. So this is the beginning of chapter 1. This is M.P. Pandit Ji's contribution to the translation of that chapter. And so now I'm going to offer some commentary before continuing. First, there is a reference to the question posed by the Devi. For those of you who are following Kedarji's instruction to study the Sri Guru Gita, you will see a similarity here in that in the Sri Guru Gita, which is taken from Skanda Purana, a similar Purana from which the Kulavanava Tantra is taken, Sri Parvati, the consort, the wife of Lord Shiva, makes the same request. It's posited in this way so that you know that the culmination of the play of the Shakti is to make this request. How do I return to my natural free state of being? How do I return to union with my primordial nature? And so here, it's stated in the same way. The Devi asks the same question of the great Lord. And so some of you may remember that Kedarji has given some talks on Koham. I speak about in vibration of divine consciousness how there was a set of questions that began to come up from within me over and over again. Who am I? Koham means who am I? Why am I here? Why was I born? What is the purpose of my birth? What is the purpose of this human life? In this world of forms, is this all there is? And so this is what is meant by this statement when the Devi makes the request of her eternal spouse, as is stated in the first part of chapter 1 of this great tantra. She wants to know the possibility. What is the way by which all of the creatures entangled here in an endless round of birth and death, of what is perceived by the Devi in this context to be suffering, how can they be released? How can we be released? So it begins with this same kind of self-inquiry. And then the response by the Great Lord, the response by the Supreme Being, is that only one thing is real. Only the self is real. And then the Supreme Being gives a brief description in educational terms of the self, of the Shiva Shakti power, the highest, that this self is all-knowing. This self is the only doer. All doer means only doer. The only doer, the universal experient, sovereign, the sovereign of all, completely stainless, taintless, spotless, one without a second, self-luminous, not requiring any support from anything or anyone, that this self is without beginning and without end, without any particular attributes per se. It is changeless, highest of the highest, even beyond that mantra, highest, Satchitananda, existence, awareness that is completely pure, and bliss. So this is the first response, as recorded in this tantra, about that which is real. That alone is real, is the statement made here. And then there is a reference to ancient ignorance. And you know, Gedarji has shared the utterances of other great sages like Sri Janeshwar Maharaj, Shrimaraja, the great disciple of Abhinavaguptacharya, Tulsi Amaji, Lalita Mauli, Mirabai, Muktabai, the sister of Sri Janeshwar, and so many others, talk about the ignorance, ancient ignorance, that it would appear that this play of the Shakti that takes the form of the gunas and the malas that is expressed by these impurities, it would appear that it's ancient. Sri Janeshwar makes statements in Amrutanubhava that this has been going on for longer than anyone can remember. Societies that crop up based on this ignorance, based on the false notion of individuality, based on the false notion that you are just the body, just the senses, just ordinary. So this is why the reference is made to this world appearance being full of this ancient ignorance that is regulated by the volition and action of the manes. There's a reference to the jiva, the individual bound soul, also referred to as the manes. In Bhagavad Gita, for example, Sri Krishna uses this word. People here are bound by ignorance that is regulated by karmas.